This is Halftime of the Playmakers, your midweek partner with the live show, The Playmakers, that airs on WANM FM 90.5 on Saturdays from 12:30 to 2 p.m. It's the one and only Jeffrey Hood Jr. repping the DMV in Atlanta area. In today's show, we'll be talking about the 15 men's head basketball coach here at FAMU, as well as the NFL draft, and end it off with the NBA playoffs. But tell me these amazing topics, I have some great guys in the studio with me.
Hey, what's going on? It's your boy G, straight out of Savannah, Georgia, the Sea Pope.
All right, bro. Hey, what's going on, bro? It's your boy T. Hutton, 3T, T3, you know what they call me. See how I be rhyming like that? Yeah, man, I'm from Tuscaloosa. Also known, also went to Haven, Florida. You know the vibes.
What's going on? It's Jay Scott, the freshman on campus. But since it's the last episode, I would like to henceforth be known as
Coach Malcolm Scott. X.
Listen, the Malcolm X thing has to die. I mean, that was like the first two weeks. I came in on my audition for the Playmakers. I had
suit,
like
dressed like on. Malcolm X.
But I came from something else. Like I came from, I don't know if it's headshots or like a business thing. So I came straight to the auditions, but I was just head to toe in a suit and tie, and I had glasses on.
Only thing he was like was Malcolm X.
Yo, is your hair naturally brown?
Yeah.
For real?
Malcolm X had brown hair too.
I never knew that.
Anyways, yeah, Coach Scott.
What's going on, everybody? Slim Trim in the cut. Michael Trim Jr. from the city, beautiful Orlando, Florida.
Fellas, how y'all boys doing today?
I'm doing good.
Bobby,
feeling last good. Week too.
Feeling great, man. Last week of classes. I'm ecstatic. Even though I got classes like, what, in 2-3 weeks?
Same.
Not much of a break.
Yeah, same.
Be like that, man.
Yeah, man.
Fam, you just last week announced a new head basketball coach for the men's program, Patrick Cray II. Now, fellas, what are you guys' initial thoughts when you first saw the hire?
I like the hire. Just hearing him talk, he coming from those JUCO ranks, and really, he showed that he's hungry to get wins. He's a younger coach. That's something that I said Fam, you should target, get a guy that's younger in age. So he's 40 years old, so that's very young for a coach. Recruiting, he's used to that JUCO style when you only have guys for 1 or 2 years, and nowadays with the transfer portal, you may have a guy for a year, he may leave and go to another school in 2 years. So basically, he'll be able to turn over a roster, and I think given time, he'll be able to do well for the program.
I like the fact that he's young. I really do like that. I think he can connect more with the recruits and the players that he has if they decide to stay. I think a lot of them are probably going to leave because those are not his players, and unlike the women's hire from last year, he actually has a little time to bring in some extra players that of his liking, you know? So I'm interested to see what he does. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I know his whole background. I don't. I'm not going to lie. I never heard of him before they announced him as a coach. I did my research, though. He seemed pretty solid. He had a winning record at his previous stop, so I'm interested to see his play style and, like, how he implements that with the Rattlers.
I think to add on a point that G made earlier about him coming from the JUCO ranks, I think that'll play to his advantage, too. You know, once in developing players, and then just type of culture you want to instill in a basketball team, a trying to hungry go get it type of mindset and attitude. And he has a background in basketball. Also coming from the DMV. DMV is known for their basketball players. So I'm excited about the hire.
The DMV known for everything now, huh? Not just known for everything.
I just say hoops.
You let Malik tell it y'all known for football. What is it?
Yeah, Malik was tripping on that.
I don't know about all that.
Malik tripping on that. It was just hoops. You might.
For me, I didn't really know too much about him. Google didn't tell me much either. But listening to his interview, I liked his philosophy because, you know, coming from Coach McCollum, who I really don't know what his philosophy was, having Coach Pat tell me, or not tell me, but tell the audience, obviously, that, you know, he wants us to shoot threes, obviously guard, but getting there, playing offense is going to get us to where we need to be. And he sounded like he was very fired up and he really wanted to win for this program. And obviously nobody likes losing. So I really like the hire. You know, I didn't know who else was in the, you know, candidate pool, but it seemed like we got a good guy.
Very interested to see what he does on the recruiting side of things. I think it's a lot easier bringing players into FAMU than what people think. I think it's a pretty decent talent pool in your backyard in Tallahassee.
Yeah.
Most of these kids aren't getting recruited by FSU, but I think they're good enough to start on majority HBCU teams. I was at a tournament this weekend in Tallahassee, and I saw a couple of players that could probably start for FAMU right now, and that's no joke. I think it just depends on how he gets at it in recruiting, and if he wants to play downhill and very fast and, you know, shoot a lot of threes, I think it's very important that he, like, you know, the type of guard he gets, because the guards we've been having, it's not going to work for his play style.
Think like a Jalen Spears?
Well, he specifically brought up Keith Lamar.
Okay.
He specifically brought him up. I've seen him a couple of times. I don't know what he got too excited for, but that's just me.
I think the coach having those DMV connections and South Florida connections is going to do well for him. Yeah. You know, now that he's in Florida.
Plus, he was at Chicago too, right?
He said everywhere. Chicago, he worked with the Spurs over the summer too. So, I mean, he's well connected in the basketball world. Mm-hmm. And I think that'll help him a lot in getting players.
Sure. He got some Arizona, Central Florida, and Tallahassee connections too, because I'm finna join the coaching staff.
I don't know. Coach know that?
Yeah.
Coach does not know that.
I'm like, well, ask him, the boy's gonna say, well.
Well, speaking about his pressure, I had a chance to go listen to it, so we're gonna play that real quick for you guys.
So, at this point in time, it's the depth that we're really looking for. That fits the schematically what we're trying to do on both ends of the floor. You know, they say defense wins championships, but offense gets you on the team. So we got to get that percentage up a little higher. We got to make sure that we're good to go there. But I'm, you know, high major, low major, D2, NAI, JUCO, we're looking for really good guys. So I'm not a guy who's going to come in here and say, I'm going to take this kid from University of Georgia over this kid at Georgia State JUCO just because of a name. Bring your game.
Fellas, thoughts. Thoughts on what you just heard.
Basically, what I'm hearing is ain't nobody spot guaranteed. Anybody spot can be took. Ain't nobody. I don't want to see nobody from last year's team on next year's team. I know that's unrealistic, but I wouldn't be opposed to him shaking the whole thing up.
Roster flip. That's all I got to say.
Whole roster flip. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, I'm more appreciative of the fact that he said he's not taking guys just for the name, like where they came from, but like they got to be able to play. So, again, that ties into more of the culture he's trying to instill with the new team.
And best believe if he got some dogs at St. Thomas.
Oh, yeah.
They coming with him.
Yeah. Oh, man, coach, listen to this, man. I'm gonna be in your office after this. I'm trying to talk some business. I'll coach for free, man. You know what I'm saying? Just let me recruit for you, man. I'll get you about 2-3 of them, man. I'm telling you.
He also said he wants a lot of high percentage shots, layups, threes, kind of like the Nate Oates type of coaching style. I think he's the right man. Hopefully, we get the right talent in the building. I mean, the talent was there. I think it was just Coach McCollum, the coaching. Jalen Spear was a great point guard. Yeah. Keith Lamar, another great
for sure.
Tristan shining on Keith Lamar.
That's what I'm saying.
Nah, I mean, Keith Lamar cool.
J.K. Parker was also a good guy, too, as well.
I don't even remember what he looked like. He can't be that good.
Nah, K.J. Parker.
I just named you three good guys.
I don't think he'll fit in this system, though. I mean, he loves to shoot, though.
That's what I'm saying.
He loves to shoot, but I don't.
I ain't going
to
lie. If I'm the coach, I'm keeping K.J. and I'm keeping Keith Lamar around if I only can get two.
If I'm the coach, I'm bringing me on the coaching staff.
And I guess I keep Jalen Spear around too, since he was on the
Spear from the graduate.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, he is.
Like I said, I think you put me on the coaching staff and I can replace all them players in less than 3 days. Give me the leeway. Just say, hey, I got you 3 scholarships.
This man uses
I get a scholarship?
He used this.
Do I get a scholarship?
Yeah, man. Like I said, he gonna give me 3 scholarships and just send me like, hey, go find me some boys. I'm like, bet. I'll be back tomorrow with 3 boys for you.
I fit the philosophy though. I shoot, I defend, you know.
Defend what?
You lost to Tristan.
You're 5'4".
Bro, I'm 5'6".
Yeah, like that makes a difference.
But like I said.
You Isaiah Thomas?
But like I said, I can stretch the floor.
Man, come on, bro. Move on.
Right. I mean, I think he'd be a great, I think he's a great guy for the program. I think he'll take us to new heights.
Who, Mike?
Coach Crary. No, we're not talking about Mike. I think he'll take us to new heights that FAMU was used to before they joined the SWAG. I think it's very possible we could be a top 5 team in the SWAG. Depending on how he flips this roster. Depending how he flips his roster.
If FAMU can get like a respectable basketball program,
we'd be up
by a lot.
Put me on your staff, coach.
But is it crazy? Because I left his press conference thinking like he looks like Joe Mazzulla, slick.
Ooh. I see it, but he a little taller.
Bro, we just talking about in the face.
Oh, well, yeah, for sure.
Not
yeah.
like height.
You know what I'm saying? They got the same lineup and everything.
No, facts.
Yeah, number 3 with a fade.
Yeah, that thing kind of little.
Oh, come on.
My fault.
He's
never going to be on the podcast now.
Anyways, fellas, move along. The NFL draft is here. It's draft week, fellas. Ooh. What are the Commanders going to do with the number 2 overall pick?
I'll tell you what they better do. If they don't draft Jaden Daniels with that number 2 pick, y'all going to see a whole front office change next year.
You got to go QB here.
I mean, yeah, you got to go QB, but just which QB? Because, I mean, I saw draft odds. They had J.J. McCarthy. It was like 1,000 something, and it like slid down to plus something.
I'll tell you,
I forgot,
who
like
they
500,
better draft.
600.
Jaden Daniels.
Jaden Daniels.
Commanders.
At the very least, Drake May.
No.
Let's not make this complicated.
Jaden Daniels. When you start overthinking, that's when you start.
Caleb Williams is going to be number 1.
Yeah.
I tell you who they better draft that number 2. I don't care what they do after 3, 4, 5. Number 2, it better be Jaden Daniels walking across that stage.
Do they have multiple picks in the first round?
The Commanders?
Yeah.
No.
No.
Not just second. Okay.
No. But I don't know. Something is telling me.
Oh, Lord.
I want Jaden Daniels to go too. Trust me, I do. But something is telling me they're bound to mess up. They're going to screw themselves up and probably get Drake May.
Didn't the Commanders bring like four quarterbacks in last
week? Yes.
Yes.
Yes. That's what I'm saying.
I'm not surprised by their front office whatsoever.
So they're not sold on Jaden Daniels. Yeah. And I don't know why they're not sold, but it's a reason why they're not sold.
At this point, they should have like their mind made up because, I mean, you already know who going number one. Caleb Williams going number one.
Jaden got a beautiful deep ball. That's a beautiful deep ball. And I'm really not even the biggest fan of Jaden Daniels. You know, he played for LSU and all that, but I call a spade. Pick them, like, let's not make this overcomplicated, guys. You don't want to lose your job.
What do you think?
Who I want them to pick and who they're going to pick.
Yeah.
I think for who I want, I want Jaden Daniels to go number two. I think he has the potential to be the best quarterback coming out this draft, but I think they're going to go with Drake May. You know, you've been hearing JJ McCarthy, you've been hearing Jaden Daniels. I think they're going to go, you know, with the guy who was mocked at two, who was 1-2 with Caleb Williams the entire year, and they're not going to, you know, they're just going to go back to the beginning of their board where they first started. I think they're going to go Drake May.
Somebody going to lose their job.
Why do you gotta say it like that though?
I'm not gonna lose their job. You know, it's gonna be similar to, you know, that year when Deshaun Watson came. I think Deshaun and Patrick came out the same year, right?
Oh, Trubisky went like
no, that was Trubisky. It was Trubisky who was part of Watson's class.
Okay, well, yeah, it's a very similar situation. Who went with number one that year?
Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. It was a clear cut situation where we all knew Deshaun Watson.
Or Myles Garrett. My fault.
I think that's the Garrett you.
Yeah. Okay, maybe number two. But Trubisky should not have been the next quarterback to off the board, like
in no Bears back so far.
Like, what are we doing here? Let's not overcomplicate this thing. We see the tape. We saw the tape of Watson at Clemson. Easily the best quarterback in college. Don't overcomplicate it. You've seen what Daniels can do. He has no red flags on or off the field.
His flag is his body, his frame. That's his only red flag, I would say.
Yeah, you put him in the right strength and conditioning.
Put him in the weight room, man.
Right.
But I'm saying that's his only red flag is just his frame.
Well, I mean, in the fact that he takes hits.
He takes hits
and he takes off.
Fred Warner, he going to clear his head off.
Probably lost a couple of brain cells with some of them hits he took. But nonetheless,
they got a highlight reel of Jaden Daniels getting
knocked around.
Some of his plays, some of the hits, he was like, what are you doing?
And it's like, if he got that much pressure from the defenses he was playing in college and he takes off like that, I mean, obviously it's going to be one of his strengths when he gets to the league is to use his legs. But he's going to have to learn to really stay in the pocket and have some patience.
That's true. Now move on to another quarterback, JJ McCarthy. Is he a top five pick in this year's draft?
No.
Like, could you see him being a top five pick, realistically?
Whoever drafts JJ McCarthy with a top five pick will not be in the league next year.
Bro, why do you... Okay, what is your hate with JJ McCarthy?
I have no hate with JJ McCarthy. The man a national champion. I give him credit.
Exactly. As good as your last game, and he was good. He was straight.
For sure. I guess an overmatched Washington defense, who we all knew had zero chance of winning that game.
He still performed.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm.
What's the hate? Come on, explain the hate.
Bro, JJ McCarthy is JJ McCarthy, bro, at the end of the day. Like,
okay, so let's say for example, the Vikings trade up, right?
There's gonna be a lot of people without jobs next year.
He's not gonna succeed in a Kevin O'Connell.
It's gonna be a lot of people without jobs that you could have just kept Kirk Cousins if you was gonna draft JJ McCarthy. What are we doing here?
Nah, but JJ McCarthy is like 10 years younger than Kirk Cousins.
Exactly.
Okay, great.
And cheaper.
Thank you.
Amazing.
Come on, Mike.
Ooh, cheaper. No, who else? Get Drake May. I'd rather you take Drake May than get JJ McCarthy.
Yeah, but it might be easier to trade up for JJ McCarthy than it is for Drake May.
You don't have to trade up.
Yes, you do. You're at 11 right now.
You don't have to trade up for JJ. JJ's going to be there.
I promise you, JJ's
going to be there.
Because even Adam Schefter said Michael Penix would go as high as 8. So obviously, these quarterbacks finna go off that board.
If you want your guy, you got to go get your guy.
Team drafts J.J. McCarthy over Michael Penix Jr., that person will be looking for a job next year.
I'm taking J.J. simply because...
Injury history out of it. Yeah.
It's exactly.
Completely healthy. He played a full 15 games this year.
He got hurt,
what, 3 or 4 times his whole college career? What, shoulder and 2 ACLs, I believe?
He just played a full 15 games.
We still got to see more.
Completely healthy.
We still have to see more.
Didn't you just say you're only as good as your last game?
Yeah, you are.
And he got hurt in the playoffs.
What game did he get hurt in the playoffs?
He had a rib injury, right?
Because that was knocking his head off in a championship game.
Okay, that was his last game. He got hurt in his last game. So
That's not his fault.
Yes, it is. He got
hurt. Do you not see how small what's-the-face O-line was compared to Michigan's D-line? What did you think was going to happen?
Wait, time out. They were small, but they won best offensive line in college football. tall.
Yeah, that's great, but that don't mean you're still like you weren't an undersized team compared to who you were going up against. Come on now, let's be real. Let's be real right now.
He has injury concerns.
Okay, for sure.
Well, exactly.
We know why Mike ain't a GM. We know why Jeff is not a GM either.
So you tell me in a Viking system with Kevin O'Connell, right, offense guru, JJ's not succeeding with Jordan Addison, TJ, Aaron Jones,
not how Michael would.
What's the difference?
Mike can make any throw on the field. Without a question.
I think JJ can too.
You think I can make any throw?
Not you.
Oh.
I don't even think you can make a slant.
I just a wide receiver screen.
I'm a QB at heart.
Yeah, come for sure. Now. At 5'6". All
right. Right.
He's everything at heart.
I'm like Kyler.
You're everything.
I'm like Kyler Murray.
Yeah, for sure.
You think you're everything at heart, but reality, we found out about you last week.
Like
buddy.
I said, Michael Penix is making every throw on the field, no questions asked.
I think JJ can too.
Okay, that's a bet.
If we're being real,
I think that we're banking too much on the team trading up to get to the top five, and that's why I don't have him going as a top five overall pick.
But I think there's a real, you can really see that real scenario. You can really see that. I mean, the Raiders have to trade up. I don't think they're in a good position for a quarterback.
I really think you can wait for JJ McCarthy.
No, honestly,
you can wait for Bo Nix. Yeah, you can't wait for JJ.
No, you can't.
What's the difference between Bo Nix and JJ McCarthy other than age?
I'm just saying.
Like, what's the difference?
But you can wait for Michael Penix too. You can't wait for a JJ.
No, absolutely. You can wait for Michael because, like y'all said, he's gonna have injury concerns.
Yeah, absolutely. JJ, he's great.
But nah, man, that I don't. Yeah, no, JJ is not somebody you should just trade up for King's ransom to move up for.
Why not?
Because he's not changing the fortune of any franchise.
Do you think so?
I know so.
And what do you have to back that up?
I've watched almost every Michigan game this year.
So I have a question.
And he's done nothing but play his system.
I have a question.
And win.
I got a question.
Yes, Michael, before I get on the mod.
You said he's not changing the fortune of any franchise, so why would you take him in the first round at all?
You're proving my point. I literally said in the group chat I wouldn't take him with picks 1 through 32.
Oh, I didn't see that.
That's kind of crazy.
He was disrespectful.
Yeah. That is crazy.
but you would take Michael Penix.
Absolutely.
What about Bo Nix?
No, wait.
Much better quarterback.
What about Bo Nix?
No.
You would take Bo Nix before JJ?
I wouldn't take Bo Nix or JJ in the first round. Those are not NFL caliber quarterbacks. Stop it. We need to stop immediately. This is Bo Nix we're talking about.
But JJ played an NFL pro ready offense and he looked decent.
You're right. He was handing the ball off 30 times a game.
Bro, we really handicapping
JJ McCarthy is AJ McCarron.
Dang.
That's a great comparison for JJ McCarthy.
AJ so McCarron.
Disrespectful. That's crazy.
You're handing the ball off. You have a great surrounding cast. Like, tell me what's it. You have a great surrounding cast. You're handing the ball off most of the time, and when the coach needs you to make a throw, you're going to make a throw. They're not putting the ball in your hands telling you to win a game. He's a great game manager in college. That's not going to carry. That's not worth spending 6, 7, 8 picks to trade up for. You don't trade up in the draft for a game manager. That's just not realistic.
I'm not saying a team should go and, you know, trade their picks away to draft this guy.
That's exactly what they're going
to
do.
But this guy is a first round caliber quarterback, and that's foolish to think otherwise.
What makes him a first round quarterback though?
Because this is what I've said.
He's had the longest QBR rating in college football. I think it ended like probably week 10, week 11.
Mm-hmm. And then not only that, but I feel like you're being a little too critical of the fact that he literally came into a system. It wasn't his system. It was his coach's system, a system where he primarily had to hand the ball off. He only had to throw when he needed to throw. And I remember we were talking in the chat. His stats were not that bad.
AJ McCarron. It's literally AJ McCarron.
But I'm saying I think he has much more upside than somebody like AJ McCarron. Like this dude's mentality and the way he plays the game and how he approaches the game, it's so different.
Absolutely.
Like, you can't say that he's not a first round caliber quarterback. Now, Bo Nix.
Then we can go Mac Jones then if you want to take that route.
Nah, we can't go Mac Jones.
Because Mac Jones in college was throwing it everywhere. Now we're quiet.
Mac Jones is
cool. Mac Jones is
bad in the NFL.
Mac Jones is throwing it to a Heisman winner though.
Exactly.
Okay, so now we're getting on to him because of what he has to throw to.
Roman Wilson was not a Heisman.
McCarthy wasn't dropping back as much as Mac.
He didn't have to.
And Mac was going against better defenses. Tell me he wasn't.
But he did. But JJ didn't have to do those things. Like, we can't pick and choose what we're going to criticize what I'm a quarterback saying, about.
I'm giving you my quarterback comparison. You said AJ was disrespectful. Mac Jones. He's not changed.
That's even worse.
We're going off NFL.
I still think Mac Jones is going to be a good NFL quarterback, though.
Who? I think so, too. You got to put him in the right situation.
Like, if Mac Jones was in Minnesota taking instead of Sam Darnold.
Okay.
You feel me?
Mac Jones would be an MVP candidate.
But they don't want to say that, though, because Mac Jones was throwing the G, Jeff, and me, and he had Ahmad and Jalen as his two running backs.
And I was his backup quarterback.
You feel me?
Yeah.
But we don't want to talk about that, though. We never want to talk about who Mac was throwing to. They can't name, other than, what's the boy named, the TikTok boy? What's his
Juju?
Name? Other than Juju, who else was he throwing to?
Kayshawn Booty.
Who is that?
He played for LSU.
Oh, my goodness, bro. Come on, let's be for real.
Hunter Henry?
And Devontae Parker.
Hunter Henry is how old?
Devontae Parker.
How old is Devontae Parker?
Ronaldo Stevenson?
Come on, bro.
Ronaldo Stevenson?
Nah,
for real.
That's bad. That's bad.
Be for real,
bro,
right,
Mac,
now.
Mac was in a horrible position in New England, man. It was bad from top
to bottom. In order for JJ to be successful, it has to be a perfect situation.
I don't think it has to be perfect, but it needs to be well enough.
And it got to be perfect.
And the Vikings is a perfect scenario.
Yeah. But if that's the case, why do that? You can say that for any quarterback then, because you have these people to throw it to. So why would you not get a better pure quarterback in Michael Penix, minus the injury concern?
You can't minus the injury concern.
And he's older.
He's way older too. Injury concern and older.
Man, I don't care about you being young. You either good or bad. I don't care how old you is.
You basically drafted a Kirk Cousins with the Achilles injuries and the ACLs he's dealt with. That's what you basically drafted.
He just played a whole season, no injuries.
One out of what, 5 years?
Hey, man, that's not his fault.
One out of 5 years?
That's not his fault. Wasn't his lucky? It just wasn't lucky. You know what I'm saying?
I'm not hearing that just because he wasn't lucky.
It wasn't lucky enough, man. That's all that is. Like I said, it's all depending on situations. Man.
So what team do you see him going to?
Who, JJ McCarthy?
Mm-hmm.
What's a Canadian football team?
What's
a Canadian football team?
Come on, bro.
You talking about JJ McCarthy like he Jeremy Musa or something.
You might as well be.
Come on. Now you want to say
They both national champions.
No, I'm saying
that's his favorite line.
That's a great comparison.
No, he's always talking bad about Musa, but like I said, like he just said, Musa's the champion, so you got to put some respect on his name.
I got to put respect on him.
Once you see the two quarterbacks that are probably going to play for FAMU this year, you're going to be like, dang, I wish I respected Musa more.
No, probably going to be similar.
Okay.
It's just that
they're going to want offensive player of the year.
The quarterbacks that we have around, well, Moose, come on now, look at who Moose was throwing to.
Now look at who Moose is throwing to.
It's all about what you're surrounded around. Like, what are we talking about right now?
So you think if Sunshine was starting, Junior was starting the whole year, you think we'd be champions right now?
They probably just would have handed it off 25 times, 30 times a game. Just tell you, hey, make a throw when you got to.
All right, anyways, folks, let's get back on topic. We kind of hinted earlier in the segment about which team should move up, but who do you guys think realistically is going to move up to get there, whether it's a quarterback or a position of need?
I heard Chicago might move up for Marvin Harrison. They might trade up to get Marvin. And I would want to say if they do that, Chicago is sick because they didn't do nothing like that for Justin Fields. They expected Justin Fields to make magic with Jalen. Sick, bro. Like, I don't like the way they're doing him like that. I don't like that at all. But I still like the move because I like MHA. So,
UG?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. That Chicago move would be kind of crazy. They didn't do that for Justin Fields, but it is what it is. But seeing the Caleb Williams and Marvin Harrison connection, that'll be kind of crazy. But I know they're saying the Vikings going to move up
Vikings
and get...
Yeah, the Vikings been calling for like 2 weeks straight trying to figure out to get in that top five.
Yeah, I know they said they're going to move up. They trying to get Tristan favorite player in the draft, J.J. McCarthy. So,
yeah.
You know, everybody talking about it, so it may possibly happen. But, you know, some teams get stingy after a while.
Smoke a cigar for
them. So we're gonna see about that.
You know, I cannot wait till next season starts. And when JJ's in the right situation and he proves you wrong,
imagine if he is in the quote unquote right situation and he still has an awful year. I can't wait to tell y'all. They need to pack their bags up and get ready to Cabo. Get ready to go to Cabo, because that's where they gonna be at.
Is JJ is he a day one starter to y'all?
No.
In the right situation, day one starter to me.
In the right, yeah. If
like
depending
if
the on
Raiders
the team,
or the Vikings or the Broncos, he's starting. Yeah. Respectfully,
the right now.
Jordan Hall.
Literally.
The Vikings.
Come on, you like I said, you never
and
heard
like,
of that man.
The Raiders are the Raiders. Yeah, like. If he goes to the right situation, yeah. Look, he has the mentality for it. Harbaugh was just his coach.
So
Harbaugh is an NFL caliber coach college.
So now we're putting JJ in a situation where he's going to be expected to win day one because he has to win.
No one's saying that. When the Panthers drafted Bryce Young, did they expect him to win day one? With what team?
No, because the Panthers were awful.
Okay, but that's what I'm saying.
The Vikings aren't a bad team. That's like comparing apples to oranges.
It's not. It's a rookie quarterback who's going into a situation with a team.
Let me ask you a question.
But we don't know how good, like, we can't project, we can't have a gauge of how good a quarterback is going to be until at least training camp.
Let me ask you a question. Who is the Panthers' number one receiver right now?
Couldn't even tell you.
Who is their starting running back?
Couldn't even tell.
Do you even know the name?
Actually, Miles Sanders.
Do you even know their head coach?
No, they just fired him, though. And they just hired a new one. But I'm saying exactly.
Bryce Young was going into an awful situation where no one expected him to win at all. No one was expecting Bryce to make something out of nothing. J.J. McCarthy is not going to a situation where he has to make something out of nothing. You have arguably the best 1-2 punch at receiver in the league.
So
right
what
now.
So what does winning look like to you for J.J. McCarthy?
If J.J. McCarthy don't make the playoffs first year, he a bum. Bust. Bro, get him out of there.
That's, Jalen, that's a little critical though.
Jalen, take the mic. What team do you realistically see jumping into that top five or even just moving up for position of need?
I forgot who they said that the Cardinals are trying to go after, but I saw a trade just for the Cardinals go up.
I'm looking at the pick 13 and pick 14. Obviously Vegas, I have no confidence in them winning anything with Aiden O'Connell at quarterback. Mm. Especially in that division with Kansas City, Chargers are going to be better. I think Denver will be better. So Las Vegas, I think if they go out and get a Jaden McDaniels or whoever they're looking at McDaniels. That's what I've been
Their head coach,
yeah, the connection he was at ASU. So Vegas and then also New Orleans. Their division is semi open to me. I think Atlanta will be probably the best team. Tampa Bay, I think they'll be respectable in that division. But if New Orleans goes out and makes a couple moves, I think that if they go out, trade for a quarterback, if they even trade up for Jaden Daniels or Drake May or something like that.
You wouldn't think wide receiver though?
And then that obviously another position.
I think New Orleans needs to go wide receiver before they go quarterback.
But they have other position of needs as well. But I'm not too confident in Derek Carr as a quarterback at this point in the in his career. So they can go wide receiver, they can go quarterback. They got I'm pretty sure the defense needs a little bit of revamping as well. So
that man best receiver right now is Taysom Hill.
Who knows? Chris Olave. I was like, you tripping.
He can't stay healthy.
He's got a lot of concussions.
Come on, bro. One more concussion, he out. He done. Come on, man. The best ability is availability.
Oh, Michael Penix.
He played a full season.
1 out of 5.
We're going.
What's the percentage?
What did they say earlier? We're going off what the last game.
What's the percentage?
He played, didn't he?
That's 20%. Anyways, Jalen.
I'm seeing something that what if the Chargers traded up for McCarthy, knowing that Harbaugh just took the job there?
Bro.
Well, both cursed on airport.
I don't even like Justin Herbert, but come on.
That would never happen.
I don't think it would happen.
And Justin Herbert's under contract still. So unless they really just would bring him in just to learn under Justin Herbert, but that doesn't make sense either because Justin Herbert's not even 30 years old yet. So
What's crazy? Who I wanted? What would be amazing? What I want to see, and I'm a big fan of his, even though I hate Georgia. I want to see Brock Bowers go to a great situation
like the Jets. That would be nasty.
Oh my God!
Imagine if Atlanta say, "I don't want an edge rusher anymore." Because every mock draft I see, they got them drafting like an edge.
Don't speak.
But wait. Kyle Pitts and Brock Bowers would be disgusting.
That'll be sick.
Facts, but they're not. But they're gonna draft Dallas Turner for sure.
I ain't opposed to it, but it's like, why I'm saying.
When
we saw the Bengals thought they was gonna go O-line, they said, "Nah, give me Jamar. Super Bowl the next year." I'm not saying don't get your hopes up. I'm just saying that'll be nasty. Kyle Pitts and Brock.
Now I could see Brock Bowers going to the Chargers though if they don't draft that offensive lineman.
That's what I saw too.
Because if they drive offensive lineman, they're going Joe Alt hands down.
I wouldn't mind Brock going out to LA. I wouldn't mind the Eagles trading up.
That's never gonna happen, buddy. Unless you give up Dallas Goedert and some other players.
Yeah, y'all would have to give up more just to
y'all
gain
need
that
a
one
DB.
Player.
Y'all need DBs and linebackers.
Get Kool-Aid before he drops to the San Francisco 49ers.
But we're trying to get an offensive lineman. That's kind of like a boring pick, but I get it though.
I think
Trent Williams finna end his career. So
I feel like LA need some wide receiver help.
They do too.
They do, but. Brock Bowers is like a pass catching tight end though.
Yeah,
but still they would still be going to the season with Josh Palmer as their wide receiver one.
No, the wide receiver one is Brock Bowers.
Would be Brock Bowers.
Okay.
Respectfully.
Yeah, Brock Bowers is him. I don't know if you've seen him play, but that white boy can play.
Yeah, you would know.
Yeah, I do. Then on top of that, you can go in the second round and get McConkey. I would love that.
That boy
pick.
Lad is shifty.
Yeah, he is, man. That's a Charger. That's like a really hardball pick. McConkey is definitely a hardball pick.
Yeah. Now fellas. Top of the NBA playoffs. Game one has been taking place this past weekend, fellas. But it was one game that we all was kind of hyped about. This is one series we kind of all hyped about was the Clippers and the Mavericks. And it didn't look too good.
They beat the logo off the boys.
So my question to you guys is, are you encouraged by the play of the Clippers or discouraged by the play of the Mavs in game one?
I don't know, man. The Mavericks scared me. Like, they was getting the brakes beat on from as Tristan was saying. It was just bad.
Bad matchup.
Like, it was bad. I think they had 30 first half points. Mm. Like, that's the lowest that they've ever had in a game terrible. This season
with no Kawhi Leonard at that.
Yeah, that's Kawhi, and that's the scary part. Because imagine if Kawhi was there, Boy, they might have had got 40 pieced. And another interesting thing, all the home teams
won.
And not only did they win, they won in like blowout fashion.
Except OKC.
The Pelicans was at the Pelicans.
The Thunder. That was the only game that was competitive down to the wire from start to finish.
I would say I think it's more encouraging for the Clippers just because like they're kind of showing what we all thought they can be capable of when they're fully healthy. You got Westbrook. You got
Harden has entered the chat.
You know what I'm saying? You got Harden. You got PG. Yeah. And you got Kawhi. So, and then not to mention they have a good like surrounding supporting cast around those guys. So it's
Norman Powell.
Yeah, Norman Powell. You got Man, even though he be wishy-washy, but you still got to respect it. I like what they have around them. And I think realistically, if they can play at a high level consistently throughout the playoffs and they can stay healthy, the biggest thing is staying healthy, I think they do have like a legitimate chance of probably beating the Clippers. Nuggets.
Yeah, I was just about to say, seeing the Clippers play like that without Kawhi, it should be encouraging to them. I'm not sure what the extent of Kawhi's injury is. You know, he a mystery at times, so I don't know when he coming back or whatever. But it might be similar. They might be doing something similar to how the Bucks did last year when they played against the Heat and was trying to sit out Giannis, but ended up playing themselves. But
didn't they lose?
Yeah, they played themselves.
I don't think they want to do that.
Yeah, they said they played themselves trying to sit Giannis out. But I'm like, the Clippers sat out Kawhi and they ended up getting a substantial win. And it was a lot of blowouts over the weekend. I just got to say that.
Yeah, it was.
Like my goodness, bro. Like shout out to the Thunder and the Pelicans for having the best game of the weekend. Because bro, I don't know.
I wouldn't say best because they both look scary.
They look bad.
They look nervous.
But what I say not necessarily the best.
Also, Pelicans didn't have Zion either. I think that plays a big part.
I really want to see how that series will go with Zion in it.
Because Zion, yeah. Is a monster.
But yeah, shout out to them for having a close game. Because everybody else, the Knicks and the Sixers, they was alright. But I mean, the Knicks was kind of hit that whole game, so
I'm gonna say it's discouraging for the Mavericks because outside of Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic, it was kind of like, you know, meh. Not even meh. It was bad basketball. Nobody could really hit shots for real. I think they only had 1 3 off the bench. Went to Tim Hardaway, and then PJ Washington, who they traded for at the deadline, didn't really play well. Derrick Jones Jr. didn't really play well. Daniel Gafford and Derek Lively, they had a combined 3 rebounds together, and they're the 2 centers on this team. So it's like, and Dwight Powell. Well, Dwight Powell only played 1 minute, but Lively and Gafford, they didn't really like perform well.
I think to your point, Mike,
I can't see the Clippers shooting 50% from 3.
Yeah, I don't.
I'm not believing that.
That is true. But I will say to your point, Mike, and I've heard people say it, and I agree with it because I see it. It was already hard enough putting the team around Luka and being successful. But now that because Luka's like so ball dominant to an extent that we really haven't seen much of because he takes so many shots.
Mm-hmm.
But then you add Kyrie to that, he got to get his. So it's like, in order to be successful, you need a legitimate big, and I think Lively can be that in the future. I just think he's young right now. But realistically, you got to put a whole bunch of shooters around them. Because they're gonna get whatever they want. But, you know, Luka does, you know, like to dish it out when he drives to the basket. So I think, I've been said they probably should have, like, broke down the Mavs and reconstructed it to, like, have a bunch of shooters. Kind of how, like, the Magic was when they made that magical finals run when y'all was, like, toddlers. But, yeah. So I think they probably are gonna have to break it back down this summer and rebuild it.
I'm gonna have to go agree with Mike here with the more discouraging for the Mavs. Obviously, you know, game one, you want to come out with a good impression on how you want the series to go. And with Kawhi sitting out, you have to take advantage of these opportunities to win these games. And the first half just wasn't looking like that for the Mavs. Like you said, you weren't getting a lot of good play from Lively and from Derrick Jones Jr. And you put a lot on Luka and Kyrie to make those plays. And when their shots weren't falling, it just went downhill. Now, again, that can be added to the Clippers' success shooting the 3-ball, which I don't think they're gonna have that same success all series. But they can't have that first half slump, and they played from behind for most of the game. Same with my Heat. They had the same problem. I mean, it looked like the Celtics couldn't miss for crap. And I know they're one of the best 3-point shooting teams in the league right now, but man.
That's true. I would be discouraged as a Mavs fan, but then again, I'm looking at like they're not going to shoot 50% from 3 again. So
it doesn't stop them from having the first half slump that they had, though.
For sure. Moving on to the next game. Damian Lillard sparked for 35 points in the first half.
Dame time.
What statement did he send to the Pacers with no Giannis?
This ain't sweet.
Right.
He said, I don't need Giannis. I'm here. That's what he said.
He really said levels to it, for real, for real.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I think he just showed that he's still Dame. You know, I know a lot of people was like, oh, he played down this year. But, you know, playoff Dame is a real thing. Dame is a guy that always raises his play when it gets to the playoff time. So, I think it's still, like, it's still a good series with no Giannis right now. So,
yeah,
because that playoff Dame, just it's just real. You see what he did to the Thunder when Paul George said he shot a bad shot.
I think that, like you said, Dame really proved that, you know, he's still here as a good player. But even if you looked at, like, other Portland fans talking about Dame, they were just like, we know, like, they still support him, and it's kind of funny, but they support him, and it's like, all right, just wait till playoff time. And he showed it. You know, he's still the same Dame Tom that came out to play. He had a lot of confidence in his shots too, and I think it's because he knew he had to be the playmaker on the floor without Giannis being there. So I was just excited to see this Dame play, and I hope we get him for the series.
I like the statement he sent, but then I'm also just a little bit alarmed he didn't score after that. After 35 points in the first half, he was real quiet.
Well, the box score says that, but I feel like the way that he influenced the game in the first half was enough to carry over to put his teammates in better position to score.
Yeah, I just hope that doesn't come a common trend where it's down the stretch and he's kind of like has no extra gas in him. But I know Dame does have extra gas in him. I just don't want that to be a scenario that does happen.
Damian Lillard didn't make a statement for me. You know, I knew what Damian Lillard was in the playoffs. And it's not like the Milwaukee Bucks were just, you know, nothing without Giannis, because they still had Chris Middleton, who, you know, played second fiddle to Giannis when they won the finals in 2021. Chris Middleton gave them 23 points.
In what year you said, Mike?
2021, when they won the finals.
All right, well.
So it's not like, you know, it's a bunch of scrubs. Obviously, Bobby Portis.
He had a really underrated game.
High energy guy, can shoot, stretch the floor, obviously deter shots at the rim. Brooke Lopez, obviously, just like Bobby Portis, stretch the floor and deter shots at the rim, even at a higher level than Bobby. So it's like the Milwaukee Bucks, I think they're going to be fine without Giannis. This would be like a 5 or 6 game series, maybe, if Dame keeps playing like how he's going to play and if Middleton keeps playing like how he's going to play. So I think Giannis should sit out this entire series. I'm not really concerned about the Indiana Pacers beating the Milwaukee Bucks.
You think they should sit out the entire series?
Yeah, it's possible. Cause who?
That's very disrespectful.
Wait, can I finish?
Yeah, go.
The Indiana Pacers were the best offense in basketball and the worst defense in basketball. So if the Milwaukee Bucks can stop them from scoring, I have no concern that the Indiana Pacers are going to be able to stop Damian Lillard, stop Brooke Lopez, stop Bobby Portis, and stop Chris Middleton. Because, like, who have they stopped all year? So I'm not even worried.
I wish you could see the faces over here in the studio, Mike.
That's cool.
I think the Cavaliers should sit Donovan Mitchell for the rest of the series, too.
and they're going to go home.
Because at this point, Donovan Mitchell ain't got nothing to prove against y'all, man. He proved that it was levels to this, too.
Okay, it is levels to this. I never said it wasn't levels.
Moving along, back to the West Coast. Anthony Edwards sparked the Suns single-handedly. Mm-hmm. Are you concerned for the Phoenix Suns in this series?
Yep. Who ain't nobody finna stop Ant? Ain't nobody guarding him?
Y'all see like the voice leaks of him talking to Kevin Durant? That is hilarious.
I ain't gonna lie. What that boy Adrian Barnes said? Man, KD got cooked. He got cooked. Andy Edwards was like embracing like KD guarding him and like
fed off it.
Yeah, he was open firing on KD. I ain't even gonna lie, bro. So
I'm very concerned for the Suns because it just seemed like they could not stop the Wolves. Like, the Wolves just look like the more complete team, even though they technically have less superstars than the Suns do. This is it could get scary. It gets scary real quick. The Suns need to steal a game in Minnesota. How? I don't know how, because they tried literally everything, tried to dish it out to KD. Bradley Beal wasn't really doing anything.
The book was a no-show.
It is really scary. And the fact of the matter is, this game could easily be a 5-game series.
I ain't gonna lie, if the Suns don't do nothing in this playoff run, bro, you might need to shake.
Which is why I said that they have the most pressure in this playoffs, because of just what type of team that they've put together and everything that they've been through, and KD in particular. Like, if he loses in the first round, hey, it's done. Because they ain't never gonna get past the first round again, because these teams are only going to continue to get better.
Everybody listen. All right, so I'm actually going to agree with Tristan. The Suns, this is very concerning because they don't have a respectable wing defender that's going to stop Anthony Edwards.
That's true.
So it's like, if you can't stop Anthony Edwards, you're not going to win the game, because the Timberwolves, best defense in basketball, and they're going to stop you from scoring. You see what they did to Book. So if you can't stop the Timberwolves from scoring, you're not going to win the game, because the Suns not going to stop nobody from scoring.
That's true. That's true. Now, to close out the show, fellas, I'm looking at these two games. One, I like talking trash, but I'm really looking at these two games. LeBron could get swept and the Magic can get swept. Based off them first games, based on the two first games.
I don't know why you look like that.
Hold on. I'm looking at it like.
Timeout. Hold on. My fault. Before you start, bro, that wasn't even on the script. You went off script.
I know. That's why I said I like talking trash.
As I started saying, I like talking trash.
All right, bro. Let me stop you right there, bro. First of all,
Ahmad, before you start, I remember one time in the show. Way back, I said, y'all need shooting. You said no. In the playoffs.
I never said no.
He said they drafted Jet Howard and all that.
I said, y'all shot
21% from three.
I know.
That is atrocious.
I know. That was pretty bad.
That was Mike's 3-point percentage in the 1v1 y'all just had.
Bro, I lost by 1 point. Like,
I said shooting percentage. Calm down.
Look. This is one takeaway that I have from this game.
Yeah.
Number one, when we're playing the Cavs, we have to protect the perimeter because at the beginning of the game, they got out the gate quick by hitting a lot of threes that we just simply were not contesting. It was uncontested threes here and there. And then not only that, but just not turning the ball over. We turned the ball over like 10 times.
Turnovers himself. That's alarming.
Like, that's very bad. And I think part of it.
Savior.
No. But like, I'm not surprised at the turnovers because again, like, this is a young team. First round jitters, first game jitters. I don't expect the turnover margin to be as high as it was in game one. Now that 3-point shooting, we have to game plan against that because Donovan Mitchell was having a field day behind the arc, and we just simply can't do that. Like that game
Evan
as bad.
Evan Mobley came out 2 threes in the first quarter. Yeah,
exactly. And so like, look. As bad as that game was, because we got to the point where we were down 20, that game was still winnable. Like, we kept clawing our way back in. And I think that's what a lot of people underestimate about this Magic team is, like, we don't quit. Like, a lot of teams, they down 20, they just gonna, you know, hang up the cleats, bro. We came back. You making that face, but it's like, look at it. Like really, let me break it down for you.
We're down.
We're down 20, right? Nobody is denying we had a bad 3-point shooting night. That was literally that, and the turnovers is literally the difference maker. We make all those threes we shot, we beat the Cavs easily. This is like, that was an easy winnable game. And even despite the poor 3-point shooting, we were down by 20, we came back, we were down by 11, and we came back and we were as close as to being down by 4. But it was just self-inflicted wounds on the team that just did not allow us to get over that hump and take the lead in the game. Like, and they learned that.
That's a bit.
But it's saying we getting swept. Y'all boys tripping.
Yeah, getting swept.
Man, y'all don't win this game tonight. Y'all grit.
I'm going to break it down because clearly y'all haven't watched the Magic all season long.
They haven't.
Yeah, Tristan Tsai. Watch this. So, first of all, the Cleveland Cavaliers started the game 5-for-5 from three. Evan Mobley hit 2 threes. Evan Mobley is probably, I don't want to say non-existent on offensive end, but his 3-point.
Y'all made him look existent.
Hold on. Wait.
I'm just saying, y'all made him look existent.
You're right. Because that was the game plan, to let the non-shooter shoot. And that was him. Jared Allen's not a shooter. He doesn't even step foot on the perimeter. But we know Donovan Mitchell, elite playoff performer. When making my prediction, I think I said like 6 games. I forgot about Donovan Mitchell. I'm not going to lie. So
you always forget something when it comes to Magic.
Yeah, but we're elite defensively. You've seen that throughout the game and when we went on runs. And I feel like the first game jitters are, you know, they're real. Paolo Banchero was our only offensive. He was really our only offensive option that game. Our guards shot terrible. Jalen Suggs shot terrible. Cole off the bench, terrible.
Gary Harris,
Markelle Fultz. Markelle can't even shoot at all. But I think the one thing is that we switch a lot. Well, we switch everything. And that caused Cole Anthony to end up on Evan Mobley a lot of times. And that's what got a lot of easy buckets inside for Mobley as well. But another thing, Jonathan Isaac on the defense side of the ball, he's without a doubt our best defender on the team, and we put him in a lot of uncomfortable situations, having to draw away from the basket to, you know, pick up on somebody's man when they get beat. So that gave them a lot of open buckets at the basket. So I think if we just adjust, and then another thing, we haven't been able to shoot all season long, but we shoot way better at home. So even if we lose this game, that's why I still wouldn't be as alarmed, but we would have to really take game three. And if we don't take game three, we're gonna lose if we were to lose tonight against the Cavs at home. On the road, should I say?
I expect the defense to be better.
Mm-hmm.
I expect the shooting to be better. And I expect us to be more competitive and not have as many turnovers in game two.
Absolutely. Paolo's not going to go nine for... He's not going to get 9 of our 12 turnovers again. That's just not going to happen.
Yeah, that was very uncharacteristic by him, but...
First game jitters.
But on the other spectrum, could the Lakers get swept if they don't win game two? They're already 0-9. They lost nine straight to them.
I don't think they're going to get swept. I mean, the Lakers had some bright spots in game one, but it's like... Like they could not withstand that run. That like that mid third quarter run that yeah. Nuggets went on. It's like once that happened, you know, we started packing our stuff, getting our to go boxes and all that, getting ready to leave Hooters. So they just gotta be able to hold off those runs, yeah. Especially when the Nuggets are playing at home too. You know, you get in that environment plus that altitude, you know, they probably be a little yeah. woozy out there. They look good. They had their spots, and if they can put a full game of that, then they should be able to get a couple games.
What I've seen from the Lakers so far is that they're a team of flashes. So they'll have like a 10-0 run or something, get the crowd into it, they play good defense, and then at least half of the quarter goes by and they score maybe what, 2-3 points here and there.
Yeah.
And with a team like the Nuggets, you can't do that because they are consistent throughout the game. And now they did have like a longer run that was not uncharacteristic for them, but it was a bigger run than they had like all the rest of the game. So the Lakers just have to be more consistent, and I don't think that they'll go out as a sweep. LeBron won't. You can't let that happen, right?
I hope not.
Right?
Mm. I hope not. Right. Lakers fan, close this out.
It felt good at one point in life. It was tough watching that, man. I'm not gonna lie. Seeing D-Lo go 1-for-7 from three again. Austin Reeves chucking up half court threes. I saw AD got hurt again. He got hit in his groin area, though.
Little nut check.
I don't even know why they put Prince in the game. Torian Prince. And Tony Craig. Brown. Brown Jr., though. Him.
Troy Brown. Troy Brown.
Yeah, Troy Brown. I don't know why I said Tony. But why is he even in the game? It's just sad seeing the state of the Lakers right now. I wish I could go back to those bubble days. I would say that. You know, it actually hurts me even more seeing Caldwell Pope come down the court and shooting transition threes.
Bang!
I'm like, it's like, it's nothing you can do with Jokic. And when you got Jamal Murray getting the rebound and coming back out to the three-point line and breaking down AD and shooting it in his eyeball, nothing but net, we're getting swept. Like, we're losing. This isn't going to be pretty. Again, we should have lost the game to the Pelicans on purpose and beat the Thunder. We should have just worried about that when we got to the Western Conference Finals like last year. What are we doing? Get Darvin Ham out of there, bro. And trade LeBron. At this point, just trade LeBron. Trade him. Get some draft capital. Be bad for a couple of years. Rebuild. We're not going to win anything with AD and LeBron anymore. That time is gone. It's gone. Trying to get all these vets and these other guys to build around. Where's Jackson Hayes? Where is he? I thought part of the reason why we brought him in was to stop Jokic.
I saw him play a little bit on Saturday.
Man, don't piss me off. Come on, bro. Like, get rid of D-Lo. We gave him the contract. We thought he was going to be better. He was talking about, oh, it was hard because Darvin Ham was, he was cooler with shorter than me. See why?
He's still loading.
Yeah, he's still loading. he didn't have ice in his veins for a minute. It's time to thaw out now, bro. Like, you got to lock it. Like, what are we doing here? Like, the Nuggets are a terrible matchup for the Lakers. There's nothing you can do with Jokic. Jokic is going to get his own. Like, you're not going to stop Jokic, but you can't have Jamal Murray scoring 15. Can't have KCP. Michael Porter Jr. having 20. KCP coming down the court hitting transition threes.
Bang!
Looking like Klay Thompson in the prom.
Aaron Gordon doing slam all-star dunk.
You see me, bro? Aaron Gordon going between the legs. What are we doing?
Darvin Ham did say, he said, we ducking no smoke.
Yeah, we should have ducked the smoke. this is pathetic, bro. I don't even care. We're in the playoffs. Let's blow it all up. Let's start over. We should have tanked for Wimby. We should have traded LeBron and got Wimby and just started over, bro.
Yeah, that was never going to happen.
I know, but still.
Well, fellas, that concludes the final episode of this season of Halftime with the Playmakers. It's a sad one, not only because it's the end of the semester and it's the last show of the season, but a great guy is leaving us. Ahmad, take it away, please.
Yeah, man. It's been great. I definitely would say this show has grown so much since me and Brian kind of took it on 2 years ago. We just started out, it was just us two, and then we just grew the team, and team expanded. Now we got young guys that's about to take over the reins. Jeff, Trim, Jalen. Proud of y'all boys. I appreciate y'all boys making me better, talking about sports. Tristan, my OG, my brother G. You weren't a permanent member, but brother, you an honorary member always and forever with the Playmakers. Brian, if you listening to this, man, we started this, and it's great to see that it's going to be continuing to go on for years to come. D'Ant, you ain't been on in a minute, but I love you, boy. Oh, love you, man. I appreciate all of y'all individually and as a collective as well. Just staying on top of me, Jeff, always making sure to show consistent things like that. Jalen, always challenging me with my takes, making me think more. Tristan, just pissing me off every time he gets and I talk about the Magic. And even Trim, being my Magic brother, you know what I'm saying? They don't see the vision right now, but, you know, it's not too late for anybody to wake up, you know what I'm saying? I'm just very thankful. This is always something that will always be a part of me when I come back. You know what I'm saying? I'll always be glad to hop on the show, and I hope it's in an even better position than it already is now, man. But shout out to God, shout out to my mama, shout out to the guys in the studio, shout out to Terrence Ward for giving me the opportunity to start this show again and to let it grow into what it's grown into. And just shout out to everybody listening in, man. I appreciate y'all.
I just want to thank my parents. Freshman year came to a conclusion. I got one more week. I want to thank you guys, all the OGs in the studio. You guys really took a chance on me, and I really appreciate it, and hope to make you guys proud in years going forward.
I didn't take a chance on you. They did.
Yeah, I did. I listened to your tape. I was blown away, so I was like, he needs to be on the podcast.
I'm going to miss you too, Tristan. It's cool.
I'm going to see you next semester.
For sure. I also want to shout out women's tennis. They came up short in the SWAC championship, but they didn't make it after a slow start, so shout out those girls. I like to point out all the other sports, so I hope to cover more sports next year as well, too.
You made that happen, brother. Shout out to the old head of the group, man. Shout out to Kibi, man. You know, I don't think a lot of people realize if I didn't meet Kibi, a lot of the stuff I've done probably wouldn't have came to fruition, like right around campus and all this other stuff I've done. So, you know, I don't think Kibi give himself enough flowers for a lot of stuff he helped start up without him even knowing, you know what I'm saying? And even just giving me my startup, you know, I started here and shoot, you know, I just took off running. You know, I took a little hiatus from the show for a little minute, but you know, I came back, finished the semester out strong. So yeah, man, whatever you do after you graduate, you know what I'm saying? I know you're going to do it to your fullest potential and like just 100%. And you know, I'm excited to see what's next for you. You know what I'm saying? Even if it's cleaning up my house, you know, I think you're going to be great at it, brother.
See,
you know what I'm saying?
He was doing so great. He just always want to be OC.
You know, I know you're going to be great at whatever you do, even though I got a great idea of what you're going to be doing. You know what I'm saying?
Heck no.
Yeah, but nah, for real though, like, you're gonna be great at whatever you do, man. I do envision you working for the league, because I know you've been talking about that since I met you, and I know that's gonna come to fruition, you know what I'm saying? All glory to God. I can't wait to see you working with whoever you work with, whether it's Skip, whether it's Shannon, Ryan Clark, whoever, you know what I'm saying? I expect to see you on the big screen soon. So shout out to you, and yeah, shout out to this podcast, man. You and Brian. Don't even get me started on Brian, man. But you know what I'm saying? Shout out to y'all boys, you, Brian, Malik, for taking a chance on your boy. You know what I'm saying? It paid dividends. So, you know, taking a chance on me, led to taking a chance on Jeff, and you know, the rest is history. So here we are. And Gerald finna say something that's finna bore me to sleep, so I'm gonna pass the mic.
No, first off, shout out to the family, shout out to everybody back at the crib in Savannah. And shout out to y'all boys for letting me jump on the episodes, man. I really appreciate it, man. Y'all really setting me in open arms. You know I ain't no J school student.
That also was not my idea.
I know I ain't no J school student, but I appreciate coming on and spending these Monday afternoons with y'all boys. Marv, man, congratulations in advance on your graduation, man. Appreciate you for showing me around, you know, ever since we met on the baseball field when I first moved to Tallahassee, man. It's just like we just had that connection, man. So I appreciate you, and I know you're going to go on and do wonderful things in the world, man. So I look forward to watching, man, and I look forward to seeing how halftime with the Playmakers continue to grow in the years to come.
Before I go on my little spiel, you know, Ahmad's really like the godfather. Just think about this real quick. Watch what I'm about to break it down to you. Ahmad took a chance on Jeff and Tristan, right? Jeff and Tristan took a chance on me. Me, I'm like, bro, I'm about to be great. So it's like, without Ahmad, a lot of this stuff wouldn't happen. So, you know, got to give a big shout out to Ahmad, you know, Mr. J School. I'm about to take that spot next year, you know, you feel me?
Yes, sir. It's yours to take, bro.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's really, I already got it in my back pocket. I just got to pull it out and show you boys. But yeah, got to give really, you know, big thanks to God. Without him, we wouldn't be able to do what we love. You know, got to thank the family. Got to thank the guys in the studio. J. Scott, T. Hutton, G, Jeff, Mott, Brian, Deanne, Austin, you know, all the guys. Oh, Country too. Forgot about Country. And then, you know, we always got to end it out. Got to thank, you know, the O. Got to thank them boys down there in Orlando. You know, Apollo, Jalen, Cole. You know, we got some motion tonight, so y'all boy, check out the game, 7 o'clock.
Go Magic.
Go Magic.
Well, last person, man. Ahmad, I want to say thank you for giving me a chance. I remember we first ran into each other, and it was like, everybody go talk to Ahmad, talk to Ahmad. So I talked to you, and I was just like, he's a great guy, but I thought you pushed me to a level I didn't expect or even see myself to do, because you knew how shy and just nervous I was. So just for you to give me this chance, let alone run with halftime of the Playmakers now, and even the Playmakers as well, it just shows that you put trust in people and in the right people. And when you do that, it's always in great hands. Wherever you go, NFL, Bucks, shoot, you come to 49ers, you always got a spot with me, man. But wherever you go in life, I know you're going to be great just because of how hard you work. I've seen it firsthand behind the scenes, even before the social media stuff that people do see online. I know that you will be in great hands wherever you go, and you'll serve the people that you're working for at a notch they've never seen. So I just want to say thank you and for all the stuff you did for us, because if it wasn't for Halftime Playmakers, we probably wouldn't be here. So I want to say thank you, and this concludes Halftime with the Playmakers. Halftime with the Playmakers is a product of WANM FM 90.5 and the School of Journalism and Graphic Communication at Florida A&M University.